435.
Thank you.
Okay, for the next song, let's turn to the Christian hymnal. Number 478. Brother James will have our devotions.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to see all of us that are here. Like someone said years ago that they weren't there in body, but they were there in spirit. But the pastor said, or the evangelist, that he's not used to preaching to spirits. But so we're glad for those of you that are here. I hope you've all had a good week in the past, at least some good points somewhere. I think I've had at least a few good points as we landed here and there, and one of them was last Tuesday. Traveling home from Cuba after having had a nice time up there. We saw Clara and Steve and put a door and operator in there for, and then we went and had lunch with Delbert and his son David and some of the others there at that little deli that they have there. Had a nice time there. Met one of our former residents from Seymour, who's a pastor there now, one of the Harrion boys over here at Diggins. I think the Apostolic Church, possibly. Here we bumped into him right there with some of his family, and quite interesting. Had a nice time there and whatever. But later, as we, after a little more work, and we're on the way home, and going around Rolla, suddenly I noticed a bumper sticker in front of me that certainly caught my attention. It said, "I love Mennonites." I looked at that again. Sure enough, there it was. "I love Mennonites." Well, wasn't that a kind of something to jerk you up a little bit? So a lot of good things happen along the way here, don't we? Doesn't it? Who this person was, I don't know. Interestingly enough, you might, since I know there's been this thing about having our church have a website, this one of the families that visited us here last Sunday had found us by using the website. After being here for Sunday morning, they decided, it's interestingly enough, that they came again Sunday evening. So that was the Carruthers family. It was very nice to have them here. And they had taken in some events at Baker's Creek there in the afternoon. Well, I'm going to read just a few verses from Mark 10. And this is an incident that is recorded in at least three of four Gospels. And it's something peculiar to the Christian faith and religion, and Raven relates to Mother's Day, although it doesn't mention mothers here. Oh, yet maybe it does. Let's see once here. It could be, depending which one you read here, that perhaps it would mention mothers. Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.' And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Now, children don't come into this world without mothers. So that's where there's at least part of the connection here. Also, the part that is peculiar to the Christian religion is the importance of children. This is a distinctive that is very important. And why it isn't important in some of the as important in some of the others, particularly in those religions where children were actually sacrificed and abused, perhaps they were considered expendable, or perhaps not really too important to start with. I don't know what would have inspired those vibes. But Christ and his followers esteemed children very important. And I believe we do as well. One of my sisters said to me that my mother had a particular spin on this verse, and she did not enlarge just exactly what she meant by that. Let the little children come to me. What did that mean? I'm not sure in my mother's case. It could be that she was willing to have those children that the Lord gave her. If it wouldn't have been, why, me being number 11 would very likely not have been born. But at any rate, I believe every child deserves a welcome before they get here. Sometimes when women are pregnant and expecting a baby, they make some remarks that are not all complimentary, about the tough time this is and all whatever. But whatever is experienced there, which we men are not able to relate to altogether, I think a child should be welcome before he gets here, and especially when he gets here. Last summer, I enjoyed observing some things amongst the Amish as we worked amongst them in a little different way than I had ever before in all the years that I've lived here. And I would like to say to all of us that I think it's perhaps sad and maybe a serious reflection on us that I don't know if we know of a single Amish person in 40-some years of being here that has truly been converted that we know of. Now, maybe you know of some, and I'm not saying that they're not Christians. And perhaps if they did get converted, it would destroy their lifestyle. And I want to tell you something. I believe they're just as afraid of us as we are of some other groups. I think they would consider us a very big threat. And one of our people that employs helps in working with them agrees that if one of them would get converted, probably none of them would ever work for us again. Something to think about it. Anyhow, one of the things that I enjoyed watching in this environment were the children, and there were lots of them. And this one particular day, as we came out the driveway, well, here was a mother with six daughters right there with her, and they were serving this drink and a snack, and the biggest one probably couldn't have been over 10 years old, or maybe a little more, I don't know. Not very big, and the very smallest ones, I know the smallest one wasn't walking. I think he was in the wagon, he or she. I guess it was a she. They were all girls, yes. And, you know, I said to this lady, I said, are these all your girls? And she said, yes. I said, you are rich. You know, to think of it, we can easily say that one soul is worth more than the whole world. And perhaps she had more than she can take care of, I don't know. But one thing I admired, that those little girls, from this youngest one, that probably didn't know what was happening, and maybe the youngest two didn't, but they were all there, involved in this little deal of just handing out a little bit of Kool-Aid and some cookies or whatever it was. It wasn't much, but you know what? It was a big day to have the thrashing crew stop at your place and all that. And I thought of that involvement. And you know what a blessing children are to us and our mothers. When I think of this morning, I was just thinking a little bit, and I thought of our own case, my wife and I, and I thought of the fact that we've been married over 40 years, and did a little figuring. I thought of how many thousands of days that's been, over 14,000 days, and how many thousands of meals, and how many tubs of laundry, all neatly folded afterwards. You don't do them two at a time when you fold them. You kind of do it one at a time, the way I understand, or the way my observations would be. You know, if we... Perhaps the Lord, in mercy, withholds some of that toil from us in our youth, and as we plunge gladly into the realms of matrimony, and all these things are waiting for us, but you know, there's a tremendous cost. And also think of the fact, and many, perhaps this is especially for you young people, to realize at this time of life, when you're perhaps 15 through 20, when your parents have gone past the hero stage that Brother Joseph spoke about this morning, and mom and dad's word just ranks right up there past the encyclopedia. I've got one little grandson in particular right now that loves to tell me what his dad said and the difference between a hay bind and a disc bind, and he's got it down. That's the way it is. Dad said it. And so that's neat to have that right then. But anyhow, to realize that birth never comes cheaply, and that a mother goes as near into the valley of death and as near to dying as it is possible to do and still live to bring us into this world. So the next time, youngsters, when you're 15 and 16 and 14 and 12 or whatever it is, and your mother asks a little task of you, don't just get this, you know, sullen response, but give yourself to it and remember that someone has virtually given their life for you. All right. Well, as we think of that and our mothers and the fact that God has given in a song, I know of a mother in this congregation that recently made a very good statement that somebody thought probably wasn't original, but as far as I know it was, and it was my wife, and she said, in the song of life, be a hallelujah. I'd like to say amen to that. And why don't we all stand together for prayer? All right. Maybe just a few choruses here at the beginning. Now, if someone has prepared something that we haven't found out about, we'd sure like to hear from you. We don't have a lot on the program, but we figure we won't wear everybody out, and we want to do some singing. And one of the things we want to remember in all our emphasis of learning to sing and all that is that one of the places it should show is in our congregational singing. So as we are here tonight, it's like a large choir are almost getting together, and as we perhaps we'll have a chance to renew some songs. If you have a song you'd like to have sung, we hope to give some opportunity for that as well as we go through this service. I'd like to lead just a few choruses The first one I'd like to sing, I'm not sure how many of you know this song, but I think you know the chorus that goes with it, and that song that goes, the chorus that goes with it is that, "Oh, that will be glory for me," where the altos carry the leading part. Any of you altos recognize that at all? All right, we've got some good hands there. So, and the first part of the song, I'm not sure where this song comes from, but I think it may go back to a certain evangelist in Ohio years ago. I say Ohio, probably other places too besides Ohio. "Just a little longer, and the trump of God will sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound. Look away to heaven, your redemption draweth nigh. Just a little longer, and we'll meet him in the sky." And then we sing this phrase, "Oh, that will be glory for me." All right, let's see if you know it. I'm not going to ask you if you know it, because I want you to learn it if you don't. All right? "Just a little longer, and the trump of God shall sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound. Look away to heaven, your redemption draweth nigh. Just a little longer, and we'll meet him in the sky. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me." Let's sing it one more time. "Just a little longer, and the trump of God shall sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be bound. Look away to heaven, your redemption draweth nigh. Of heaven, the windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment, he gave sing the one, "I met Jesus at the crossroad." I realize some of these could have some different tunes and words slightly, but I think it's good to keep some of these renewed and on the board.
"I met Jesus at the crossroad, where the two roads meet. Satan too was standing there, and he said, 'Come this way. Treasures I will give to you today,' but I said, 'No, 'tis Jesus here. See what he offers me. Down here my sins forgiven, up there
Let's sing number 319 yet in the church Christian hymnal.
Holy soul, a ransom for all, my Savior once came. He bore all my sin, sorrow and shame. He carried them to Calvary's tree. He died there instead of sinner like me.
Get our pitch again. I'm sure we sharped that terribly. If I can find my pitch pipe. Let's see here. If I can find it in this pocket, it's got more than two ways in or two, it seems. He's down there somewhere. Here we go. Get our pitch and we'll start right there in the chorus again.
Oh, me soul, a ransom, a ransom, a ransom. A ransom for sinners, the world around. He paid your debt, he purchased you too. For a ransom for all means a ransom for you. A ransom for all, my Savior once came. He's yesterday, now, and forever the same. He healeth the sick and forgiveth man's sin. A mansion above through his mercy we win. A ransom, a ransom, a ransom for sinners of wide world around.
He pays
your debt, purchased you too. And splendor and fame, I'll give you life and the strength of my days, and then forever in good and praise. A ransom, a ransom, a ransom
for sinners.
My will around, he paid you.
Have all the children come forward and just stand here in the front this time. And Jennifer will lead you to some songs.
Building up the temple.
Thank you, Jen and the children, for those songs. Right after this song, Marty actually has a group, and he can come up as soon as we're done singing this song. Let's turn to number 230 in the Christian hymnal.
There's a fountain preaches for you.
Ladies can come up.
It's a pleasure to be with you tonight. The first song we're going to sing is Come Apart and Rest, and it's one my mom likes. And I want to say a little bit about my mom. I'm very honored to have a mom like mine, someone who taught us to work and weed the garden. And she would compliment us for our cooking, and she would make sure Dad knew, and so Dad would fuss over it. And she was very good at encouraging us. And like every child, we like to bring bouquets to Mom. And one time, I found this nice lavender flowers, and I picked Mom a big bouquet, and I thought, wow, it's really fragrant, but my mom loved all these flowers. I took them, and she started laughing, and here I had nicely picked all her chives. Anyway, the next song we're going to sing is one that I've been singing a lot lately, and then Gwen found the music for it, and it's called Without Thee, Lord. Life is not worth living without God.
Thank you, ladies, for those numbers. Probably at least a number of you would remember that first song. I think Doreen was responsible for bringing into existence, and one that I've often have appreciated. There have been other efforts like that within the congregation of either arranging songs or creating them or whatever, which I think is very, very good. I think maybe what we'll take time for right at this moment is to sing. We sang a new song, Last Hymn Sing, that I think Brother Andy led us in. I'm not sure. Am I seeing you out there, Andrew? Where are you? There you are. Why don't you come up and lead that song right now? Just kind of put that back in our mind good. And after that, Sister Jessica's room, that's grades 1 and 2, are going to give us a couple of numbers or however many she has there for us as one of those special requests we had there. So, Andy, let's have that song next.
Okay, if you don't remember which song it was number 49 in the church hymnal. And this, the author of these of the text, one thing that stands out to me about him is the fact that the kind of life he gave up to become a pastor or a preacher, and it was, he had came from a very rich home or his father was fairly up in the world, you might say, or whatever. But he gave that all up, and the life he led then was completely different from what his family was used to. And I read the quote again today, and it just really challenges me. It's by Jim Elliot. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to keep what he... Wait, somebody help me. To gain what he cannot lose? Okay, thank you. That's very true. And Philip Dodgers is an example of that. Number 49. I think we'll try to sing it just a bit faster than we have been, than we had before.
Maker of all things brighty, Lord, we own our power divine. The winds and waves obey thy word. The winds and waves.
Thank you, Andy, for that song that you led, and for Sister Jessica and your children singing. You know, I think it's such an important foundation, and I believe it should be encouraging to all of us to realize that singing is not a rare gift, that less than 1% of people are supposed to not be able to sing. The man that made that statement was somewhat of a professional music and a fanatic as well. I'll to show you why. This man loved to sing so much that he probably was one of those that, you know, sang most of the time. I don't know. But before when his wife was carrying their first child, as I recall this incident now, every day at a certain time of the day, he would lean down close to her tummy and he would sing one particular song every day. When this child was born, within a week, when she was having a fussy spell, I think it was within a week if I recall, now I could be off a little bit here, but very shortly, maybe just a few days, this child is fussing. He sang that song. She responded to it. I think it was a girl. And something else he did, you might want to just tuck this away. Sometimes people wish they could learn to sing with vibrato. Vibrato is something that should come naturally, and it is that little thing like this where your music is right in the center. It can be easily overdone. The problem is when it's underdone that sometimes people sing flat. After people have learned to sing with vibrato, they can often sing with a straight voice, and it's actually harder. This man also, with his young child, when she was very young, maybe 2 years old, 3 years old, he taught her a few songs to have her voice shake a little bit, and you know what? In just a little bit, she began to sing with vibrato at a very early age. It just plumb astonished people. Might be a little teaching trick you can take away for your children or whatever. All right. I'd like to tell you about a song. You know, you probably know by now that I'm sensitive about songs in general, particularly in the ones in our hymnals, and becoming acquainted with some of the issues that involve. And there is a song in our church hymnal we've sung a number of times. It's not brand new, and we're planning to sing it this evening. It's number 434, and the name of it is, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Now, the very title and essence of that song suggests, perhaps I should take the time to ask you, but maybe I won't do. To me, it just suggests that there's some agony. There's something that hurt here somewhere when somebody wrote a song, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. And some time ago, I was reading through one of these song books about a story that had the story of this song. And I'll try and give it reasonably accurately for you. This man's name was George Matthewson. See his name up there. Died in 1906, or it appears that way. George Matthewson, as a young man, was going to school, and he was also engaged to be married. Something else simultaneously came along with this, that he began to lose his eyesight. He was determined, however, and he went on through Glasgow University and graduated from there and continued on with postgraduate studies for preparation for the ministry. And this is when it was during this time I think he became nearly totally blind. Several things happened here, a couple of things. One is his sisters were very devoted to him, and they took up the course of helping do his eyesight for him so he could continue his studies. Actually learning some of the Hebrew and Greek and things that were involved, they learned them as he was learning them to teach them to him. But the big thing that happened is, and I think this is an example of what I would call selfish honesty, his fiancée decided that evidently she couldn't live with this about being married to a blind man. That seems to be the implication, at least. And so she broke their engagement. And this was a tremendous blow for George. Whether that was the reason entirely, I don't know, but he never married. He did become a minister and pastored actually one of the well-known churches in Scotland. And how this was done, being blind, I don't know. You know, being a blind pastor would have certain challenges, wouldn't it? You know, finding your way in a church house and learning to know it well enough that you know how to get you up there, and how about looking at your audience? Maybe you couldn't tell if there's 20 there or 100. I don't know if you could tell that or not. But anyhow, he recovered. He went on, but he never married. One of his sisters, we understand it, when one of his sisters came to him with the son, with the glad news that she was engaged, he wrote this song, "O Love, That Will Not Let Me Go." And so he didn't write it immediately after that event, but that just touched me to think of the pain, of the commitment, and of a love that would not desert, a love that would hang in there. Maybe we'll just, I know time's running away here just a little bit, and perhaps we could just sing verses 1 and 3 together, and then we'll do a little more singing yet as well. 434 in your church hymnal.
No soul, O love, that will not let me go.
Technical note there on that last dotted me that the sopranos have, your other three parts should all deliberately move ahead after two beats. Right, verse 3.
Oh, joy that seeketh me through pain, I cannot part to thee.
Andy, are you still more or less thinking you want to just pass the chorus up this evening, or would you like to have him sing a couple numbers? Well, if you're, I just thought maybe I wasn't sure how you're feeling right at this point. We're glad to have you if you'd like to do it. Pardon? Well, in that case, we'll ask you to do it. How's that? That's not hard to decide. See if I'm remembering that correctly, yes. Shall we gather at the river? There was a lady in this congregation who put her own descant on this song. That was Clara Raymer. Now this morning as we sang it, I heard my wife singing it. What I'd like for you to do tonight, a few of you other sopranos that can carry that tenor part, if you need to in that first verse, you might listen. If you already know, I'd like for you to join in. I'd like to have at least several of you learn that. And that's one of the memories I have of Sister Clara Raymer, amongst others. I mean, among other things was the fact that she often would give a word of encouragement to me as well, which, you know, you don't forget that very quickly. So let's just try singing two verses of this song. And on the third verse, we'll let the chorus come up and you just share whatever comes. All right? So we're singing just three verses. On the third verse, you can come up as a chorus here. See if you can learn that descant, sopranos. I'd like to have all of you just be able to sing that if you're called on.
Oh, shall we gather at the river? The gathering.
more of you sopranos be sure and join in that descant this time, all right?
On the margin of the river, washing up his silver spray, we will walk and worship all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll go.
Jason was talking about leading songs and this and that, and about James there. I had to, several things that came to mind. Is one of them is the first time I led songs in church here, and what happened afterward. I thought it actually didn't go too bad, not too much stage fright, and I said something to somebody after the service, somebody that actually, you know, was a pretty good song leader. It wasn't James or any of the Overholts, but anyway, he said, "Well, it's beginner's luck," and you know what? And I was, you know, that really pricked my balloon, you know. But you know, that's basically what it was. There's been a lot of hard knocks since then, but I do appreciate that heritage of music and the love of music that has been kept alive here, and to the glory of God, I really appreciate that. We're going to sing two songs this evening. First one is "You Are My All in All." And then both of these familiar ones. The second one, one we've sung a lot in the last year or so, Angel Band. So I think we'll sing those two and call it good.
My shame was not God, was your name. sun is sinking fast, my race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past, my victory has begun.
Almost gained my heavenly home, my steed.